Well, good morning, everybody. Am I up, Jim? All right. Y'all look like a bright, sunshiny group today. Thank you, choir. That didn't light your fire, your wood's wet. Need to go get it dried out. This week was a very special week. How many of you men went out and bought your wife a pitchfork and a hoe? Let me see your hand. Sure you did. You might not be here today. You might be in LMC. Okay. I love to get Valentine's. I just love to get Valentine's. This week I got a special Valentine. In fact, I shared it with all the staff. I was so proud of it. You know, preachers get all kind of letters from time to time. But when they get one like this, says, "I miss you very much. You're the best pastor ever." To Pastor Johnny from Annabelle. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that sweet? I just appreciate that. Very, very special. Very special. You know, when you get my age, you become a granddaddy, I guess, to children, and maybe y'all too, I don't know. I love our children here at the church. They mean so much to me. I love to just kiss them on top of the head. And they just dare. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." So I just appreciate our children here at Dutch Park. I appreciate those of you that work with our children, because you're planting seed in their heart and in their life. Several of you have asked me, how would you get copies of all of these sermons that I have been bringing on prophecy? Well, call Janie and see if she can go back and do it for you is the answer that I can give you. But look back. We started, actually the first one was the 20th, I believe it was, of November. Then we skipped a couple Sundays, so I'll have to get with her and kind of put that together for you. If you give me some time this week to do that, I'll do that, and you can order the whole sermon series. In my former church, I had a gentleman, we had tape ministry back then. You remember the cassette tapes? Some of you are not old enough to remember cassette tapes, but we had cassette tapes, and every week, I had one dear gentleman in the church that he bought a tape every week. And finally, one day, I got up the courage to ask him. I said, "Mr. Eddie, why do you buy a tape every week?" He says, "Well, I go to sleep through your sermon." And he said, "I have to listen to it the second time to get it." So I hope that not that many of you go into sleep on me. But we're going to kind of take off on a little bit different direction this morning. Five crowns for believers. What is it about those crowns that are so special? Well, take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. And when you find Revelation chapter 4, stand with me, please. Revelation chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Now, look at me just a minute. One of the main reasons that Pastor Johnny believes in the pre-tribulation rapture and that the church will not go through the tribulation is, first of all, because of what Daniel tells us. Daniel reminds us that that last week is for his people, not the church. When you study the scripture, you need to ask God to help you to understand, is he speaking to the church, or is he speaking to his people, or is he speaking to both? The church is not mentioned in Revelation after you finish the seven churches in chapter 3. Therefore, Pastor Johnny sees that as that which will take place, beginning with chapter 4, the church is caught up. The Greek word means to be caught up, to be removed, to be taken out. And so beginning in verse 1 of chapter 4, look at it carefully. After this I looked, and behold, a door opened in heaven. And the first voice said that I heard, as it were a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up here, and I will show thee these things which must be hereafter. Now, look up here quickly, lest I forget. Notice what's taking place. There's a sound of a trumpet. And at the sound of the trumpet, there's an invitation. And that invitation is only to those who have been saved, blood washed, blood bought, born again. If you're not saved, we're looking for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means the any moment return, because everything in Scripture has been fulfilled for His return for His bride, the church. Therefore, the fulfillment of this verse is imminent, meaning it could take place at any moment, at any time. That's why Paul writes, today is the day of salvation, because we are not promised tomorrow. Verse 2. And immediately I was in the Spirit, capital S, and behold, this is John now, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that was sat was to look like upon like a jasper and a sardis stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderclaps and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. By the way, that's found in Isaiah 11 and verse 1. And before the throne that was set, a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and behind, the all-seeing eye of God. And the first living creature was like a lion, and the second living creature was like a calf, and the third living creature had the face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And the 4 living creatures had each of them 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. The omnipotence of God, the omnipresence of God, the omniscience of God, the immutability of God, the sovereignty of God in that verse. And when those living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him that is seated on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 4 and the 20 elders fall down before Him that is seated on the throne, and they worship Him that liveth forever and forever, and they cast their crowns. Now look up here. The only people in the Scripture that is ever mentioned to receive crowns are the blood-washed, blood-bought, born-again children of God, the bride of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not confuse this passage with God's people. It's not talking about God's people in the sense of the Jewish nation or the Jewish people. It is talking about those who have been born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus the 5 most important words in the Bible to any lost man in John chapter 3, you must be born again. He asked a question. Does that mean I have to go and enter the second time and be born again? Jesus said no. You must be born of the water, which is the Word. And you must be born of the Spirit of God, the power of God. Paul says you become a new man because a new spirit indwells you. So, what do they say? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive all glory and all honor and all power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy, look at it, for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now look up here just a minute before I let you sit down. You want to know why God created you? You want to understand this morning why God created you? He didn't create you to get wealthy or rich. Not that anything is wrong with that. He created you for his own purpose and his own glory. And he loved you so much that he was willing to spill the blood of his son Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross so that you might spend eternity with him. Think about that for a moment this morning, church. Thank you, and you may be seated. Think about that. Think about the depth of God's love for you and God's mercy and God's grace towards you. And my friend, look up here. Don't miss what I'm about to say. You will have to trample under your feet the blood of Jesus Christ to go to hell. Did you hear me? You will answer one day for the blood and the rejection of that blood. God loves you. God loves you unconditionally. But he has left you with the choice of choosing him. He created you for his good pleasure. He has every desire that you succeed and become everything that he created you for. He placed within you his living spirit. Put himself, deposited himself within you that you might spend eternity with him. And so when that trumpet sounds, as Paul writes, the dead in Christ will rise first. And Paul says, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he's taking us to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now turn to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11. Mike, if you've got it, pull it up. I just gave him these verses this morning. There it is. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take your crown. Look up here and don't miss what Pastor John is about to say. You can lose your crowns. As a child of God, you can lose your crowns by irresponsible living, by ungodly living, by unfaithful living. You can lose your crowns. The only one you can't lose is the one that he gives you because you trust him as your Lord and your Savior. But he warns us that no man take your crown. Why? Because one day we're going to bow at his feet. We're going to prostrate ourselves. And the writer of Hebrews and the old preacher said from many years ago, every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess one day to the glory of God, either as a child of God, either as a part of the bride of Christ, either as a member of his church that he bled and died for, or as a lost person. You'll bow one day and you'll confess to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. My friend, I'd much rather do that this side than to miss it and have to do it the other side. And no, let me tell you how much God loves you. According to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, he did not create hell for man to go to. He created hell for the devil and his angels. Read it. Look at it and read it. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My friend, every person will be judged. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Roma and I had our devotional the other night, and I was absolutely amazed at the writer. And I just stopped her in the devotion, and I said, I wonder why the writer would skip over verse 10. In the devotion was 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 9, and then it jumped to verse 11. Take your Bibles right now and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Look at it, church. It says we must all be fair before the judgment seat of Christ, and we must give an account for the deeds done in the flesh, whether good or bad. My friend, you have been judged if you're saved. You was judged at the cross for the rejection of Jesus Christ. But every individual, saved and unsaved, are going to be judged for how they live. That's why Paul says there are three types of men. Look up here and don't miss it. There's the natural man, this unregenerate. He's lost. He's never been saved. He's never been born again. He's never committed his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is the carnal man. The carnal man saved. But he's still looking and living like the world. And you can't hardly tell the difference. But he is saved. He's saved by the skin of his teeth, so to speak. But then there's the spiritual man. That's walking in the Spirit. Read Romans chapter 8. Write it down. Go home and read it and study it. He's walking by the Spirit of God, by the power of God in his life on a daily basis. He's living as best he can by the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. He's living a godly, righteous, holy, pure life. His mind, his heart, his passion, his will, his purpose is focused on the things of the kingdom. And he's seeking the kingdom of God every day. Did you know we're not called to build a church? Jesus Christ builds the church. And a church that's built around man will collapse. Take your eyes off of your pastor. Keep them focused on Jesus. I have feet of clay just like you do. I'm a work in progress, yes, just like you are. But my friend, listen to me. We're not called to build the church. Jesus is going to build his church. And he promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. He promised us victory. If we would live according to his word, he promised us victory. If we would live our lives according to the dictations of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He commands us to be filled with His Holy Spirit so that we can walk in the Spirit. Oh, I want to shout this morning. Oh, listen to me. The day's coming that our works are going to be tried by fire. Mike, pull up 1 Corinthians chapter 3 for me, verses 12, 13, and 14. Know ye not that you which run the race, run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they that do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we, what? Roll it up, Mike. An incorruptible crown. That's one of our five crowns. In fact, it's the very first one on my list to cover. Those crowns will be given right up there between those two yellow dots. The moment we are raptured, the judgment seat of Christ takes place. And my friend, God loves you so much that He wants to reward you. Listen to me. He wants to reward you so you can give something back to His Son. Isn't that amazing? You don't have to go buy it. You don't have to barter for it. God loves you so much. Not only does He want to save you, not only does He want to forgive you, not only does He want you in His family, but He wants to give you a gift so that you can give that gift back to His Son. Beautiful picture of the church in Revelation chapter 4. The incorruptible crown. Paul said that there are those that are working, that they're laboring in the wrong way, and their works are going to be tried by fire. They're going to be tested by fire. If they've been done for the glory of self and to bring praise and honor and recognition to self. They'll be as wood and hay and stubble. They'll be consumed by the fire. But if they have been done for the glory of God the Father, Jesus the Son, by a power of Holy Spirit in your life and in my life, they'll be as gold and silver and precious stones, tried by the fire. The incorruptible crown, the crown that fadeth not away, the crown that calls for sacrifice on your part and my part. I'm glad you sacrificed to be here today. Some of you did. Some of you may not. It may have just been the normal routine for you. But you chose to be here today regardless. You chose to let people know where you stand. There's an incorruptible crown to those that choose to live in such a way that their life is a testimony to others. Because one day God's going, listen to me, He's weaving a tapestry. He's weaving a tapestry of our lives. And one day He's going to hold it up to the world and He's going to say, look what I've done. Look what I've done. My wife, Miss Roma, just, her mother would be very proud of her in a lot of ways. In her younger years now, she's become real good with plants. Her mother could stick a dead stick in sandy soil and not even water it, and it would root and grow. Roma could buy the most beautiful flower in the world and bring it in the house or set it outside, and no matter how much she watered it, it would soon die. But lately, that's all changed, and Roma's mother love to knit, and ladies, we have a knitting class that meets on Thursday afternoon at the church, and anyway, for the last several weeks or so, everywhere Roma and I've gone, I've been driving, and Roma's been over there knitting. She weaved a beautiful blanket to bring little Archer home with whenever he comes, somewhere around March the 9th. She started it as a seed blanket for John and Ashley, and now she's going to have to start another one, I guess. Y'all pray for John and Ashley. I want a mother grandson real bad. I really do. I want it real bad. I love my three that's here. Well, almost here. I love them, but I want a little mother boy too, you know. And I want to show them how to drive tractors. Anyway, that's a side point. You know, there's some important things in life that we need to take care of. Amen? And so I want to teach them how to drive tractors. Incorruptible crown. The incorruptible crown. The second crown is the crown of righteousness. It's the crown which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to all of us. All of us who are rejoicing. Y'all, I see some Christians sometimes that have faces about this long. Any of you have a bit of green persimmon? Be honest, you're in the church. Sure you have. If you have it, you need to bite one just for the fun of it. Go ahead. It'll tie your tongue real good. When we was boys growing up on the farm, we'd always carry green persimmons with us to school. And we would fool some little other unsuspecting little city boy to bite into that green persimmon. And he would get to school, and of course he would immediately tell his teacher what we did, and we would get in trouble. I haven't always been a good boy, you know. So when it comes to these crowns, you know, I have to go back. The righteous judge. There are many Christians who are simply too busy today to be willing to be used of God to try to lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ to help them come to discover Him as their Lord and Savior. Then there's the crown of life. The crown of life. The crown of life. For those believers who endure those trials and those tribulations and that in severe persecution and even unto death, and Paul writes about that, and James writes about that, and John writes about that in the book of Revelation. James writes about it in chapter 1 and verse 12. It's referred to as the martyr's crown, the crown of life, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to those who endure that persecution and that affliction and those trials and those tests and, And I think of Corrie ten Boom when I think of this crown and what she must have went through. She lost her sister Betsy. But how that she endured to the end the concentration camps of Nazi Germany and lived her life in such a way and in such beauty and such holiness and godliness and left an indelible mark upon those that read and study her legacy. I think of others, great men and great women of God, who have endured trials and tribulations and afflictions. When you read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you read of the story there. I call it the hallmark of faith. I call it those who, for whatever reason, it seemed that God was not near. It seemed that God was far away. They found themselves discouraged. They found themselves perhaps, yet their faith stood steadfast through the trial and through the affliction. How about you? Y'all, the easiest thing to do is run, isn't it? The easiest thing to do is run. Run from problems. Run from problems in homes and families. Run from problems at the job. Run from problems at school. Sometimes God places us exactly where we are so that others can see the steadfastness of our faith, the endurance of our faith. No wonder the writer of Hebrews would write and say, the race, how important the race is. Lay aside every weight and every sin and everything that doth so easily beset you so that you might run the race with patience. Don't give up. Keep fighting. Keep persevering. And just because there's snow on the mountain or the mountain and the snow's sliding down the side of the mountain doesn't mean God's through with you. I am one, but I love to sit around senior adults. They've been there. They've been through some of the trials and some of the afflictions and some of the heartaches and some of the sufferings. We could learn some things there. So I'd admonish you, I'd encourage you, young families, to find some senior adults and gather around them and let them talk to you about the issues of life. Some of you young girls and young men, young people in our church, go to these senior adults and say, how did you deal with this? How did you handle this? Then there is the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness. To those who love the appearing of Christ. If you don't know by now, your pastor, boy, I'm telling you, I'm looking, I'm longing, I'm waiting. But while I'm looking and I'm longing and I'm waiting, I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm not laying down and letting the enemy take over. I'm doing everything I can to stand faithful and stand true to the Word of God. In the midst of all of that persecution and those trials and those afflictions, it's easy, you all. It's easy to quit. The crown of righteousness. Those who wait and long for and look for and anticipate and expect and believe that His coming is near. It is near. It's nearer than it was last Sunday when I was preaching. It was nearer than it was yesterday. It was nearer than it was this morning when you woke up. His coming is near. Are you ready? Are you looking for it? Are you living your life as if things are going to continue? Peter warns about those scoffers that shall come in the last days and say, where is the promise of His coming? Because everything continues just like it was. I hate to use a personality this morning, but Bryant Deal lost his father last October. He told this story in Sunday school. You need to hear it. Anyway, he got hold of his dad's car, 73 Oldsmobile. In the pocket was a little New Testament that was given by that dealership with the plan of salvation. That anywhere and any time you could receive the Lord Jesus Christ. as your Lord and in your Savior. And whether you chose to or not, folks, do you realize today that companies could be sued for doing that? How far have we fallen? And times are continuing as they were. Do any of you know what major decision took place in 1973 in the United States of America? She just died this week. Roe versus Wade. We have aborted over 65,000. Like Roma said to me one day, "Johnny, how do we know that we aborted the doctor that may have found the cure to cancer or to rheumatoid arthritis? How do we know that we haven't aborted the next Billy Graham, the next Billy Sunday? How do we know? And what has happened to our nation since we have decided that life is cheap? Our values have become distorted in every area of life. Listen to me. If that's happened to you or somebody in your family, there's forgiveness, there's grace, there's mercy at the cross. And God will forgive. And God will restore. And God will help you through that. I don't know why I said that, but I needed to say it. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, did you hear that? Shall give to all of us at that day and that time. And then the last one, the crown of glory. The crown of glory in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, which fades not away. Not that any of the others can, but it fades not away. The crown of glory. One day, because you and I have sought to give Him all of the honor and all of the praise and all of the glory, one day, the Bible says, we're going to shine as the stars of heaven. Hallelujah. I want to jump up and click my heels together this morning, but I'm afraid I might shock some of you, so I'll quench the spirit and won't do it. I'm joking. I know you think. Listen to me. The crown of glory. The crown of glory. Some refer to it as the pastor's crown or the shepherd's crown. Some refer to it as only the crown that belongs to ministers like myself, and we have several of them in the congregation this morning. But look up here and don't miss what I'm about to say. Every one of you is a minister. Every one of you have a little flock somewhere that's watching you, that's observing you, that's influenced by you, that your words and your actions and the things that you do and the things that you say have a profound influence on their life. So in a sense, it's a shared crown. It's a crown to be shared by every individual. Every individual. Every individual. The crown of glory, which fades not away. Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. Let's read it again. The 24 elders. Now who are the 24 elders? They're the church. The bride of Christ. You know how I know? Listen to me. Look up here and don't miss what I'm about to say. The trumpet blows for the church. The crowns are given to the church, to every blood-washed, blood-born believer. Okay? Now, there are those that interpret this text as being the Jewish people. And there are those that say all of this happens at the end of the 7 years between the two yellow dots that were up there. That's all right, Mike. Hold that. Okay? No. You see, once the judgment takes place, remember they had white robes on? You remember the wedding feast, the parable that Jesus gave about the man that showed up without the wedding garment on? You see, you have to be clothed in His righteousness. You have to be clothed in His holiness and clothed in His purity. The four and the 20 elders, they fall down before Him who sits on the throne, and they worship Him who lives forever and forever. And they do what? Cast their... What does the word say there? Say it, I didn't hear you. Crowns? So you're not limited to one, huh? Why does it say they cast their crown? See? When you study, do you look for those things? Do you see what God's trying to tell you there? He's trying to tell you that you can receive all five of those crowns. Now look up here and don't miss this. It's not on my notes. Take my word for it. Trust me. Okay? There are two other crowns that are mentioned, in a sense. There are two other awards that are mentioned. Not crowns, not called crowns, but two other rewards. One of them, Jesus said, if you give something in His name, you'll not lose your what? If you give a, starts with a C, a cup of what? What's water a symbol of? I told you at the beginning of the message. The Word. The Word. If you give a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, you'll receive a disciple's reward. Okay? Write that one down. Now, how many of you can do that? How many of you can take from this message today something you've learned and go give it to somebody else and deposit it in somebody else's life? In the name of a disciple. Remember the Great Commission? Jesus said, you do what I've taught you to do, but you teach them what I've taught you to do, so that they'll do what you do. See, it was to be passed right on down from generation to generation to generation to generation. A disciple's reward, a cup of cold water in His name. Would you bow your heads with me, please?